Okay, the pasuk says that when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, it says that Yosef appeared before him, and Vayipol al Tzavarav, Vayivk al Tzavarav Oid, I think is the Lashon. He fell on his father's shoulder and he cried on his father's shoulder. And Rashi explains this is the Lashon of conveying very, very intense expression of emotion. But then Rashi points out, but the whole intense expression of emotion is all one way. It's all Yosef falling and Yosef crying, but it doesn't say anything about Yaakov. Yaakov, it seems, didn't fall on Yosef's shoulders, didn't cry on Yosef's shoulders, so why not? Very, very famous Rashi, one of the, you know, there are certain Midrashim that are on the short list of the most well-known Midrashim. This is on that list. It says that Yaakov didn't fall on Yosef's shoulders, didn't cry because he was reading Kriya Shema. Shehayah Kriya Es Shema. That's what Chazal say, Rashi brings down about Yaakov's behavior at the time of this meeting. So everybody reading Rashi wonders, now we have to read Kriya Shema. This is the moment that you've been waiting for these last 22 years. You're being reunited with your brother, with your son, your most beloved son. Couldn't say Kriya Shema before, can't say Kriya Shema after. I mean, why did he say Kriya Shema now? Was it the safest man? If it wasn't the safest man, let's wait a little bit. If it's the safest man, so why didn't he say it earlier? He was traveling for a few days to get here. It wasn't a surprise. So the Maharal said that it wasn't the Sefer Zman, it wasn't the Tchilas Zman, this had nothing to do with the Zman. He wasn't reading Kriya Shema because it happened to come out that there was a Kriya Shema that was interfering with his reunion with his son. Now really, he was at a reunion with his son, but unfortunately he had to read Kriya Shema. No, the Kriya Shema here had nothing to do with Mitzvah's Kriya Shema. This was his way of reuniting with his son. It was done deliberately. What's the pshat? Because in Kriya Shema, we there's a mitzvah of Avtas Hashem Olekecha. It's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. It's an emotional mitzvah. You know, we say Kriya Shema twice a day, so it's hard, I guess, to really get emotional each time that you do it. It's very hard. I'm sure there are very few people that really do the mitzvah properly every time. But everybody should do the mitzvah properly at least some of the time. And that starts with at least understanding, having an awareness that this is an emotional mitzvah. We're talking about Avas Hashem. The Mishaburah writes, the Mishaburah says this, and not in one of his Musar Sfarim, this is the Mishaburah. The Mishaburah says that when a person says the Pasuk of Avas Hashem Lekecha, he should have in mind that he should be Mekayim the mitzvah. About Hashem Lekecha, meaning he should love. Just like he makes an interesting comparison. Just like Chazal say that when it says at the end of that parasha, you should be doing the mitzvah of tefillin when you read those psukim. Because how does it look? You read the psukim, but you don't have tefillin on. Chazal uses the lashon kamei to sheker ba'atzmai. So when you say ukchartim lo'izal yadecha, you should be kosher lo'izal yadecha. Right? You should be wearing tefillin. So the Mishaburah says that by the same token, when you read Avtas Hashem Lekecha, you should be loving him. So that you're not made sheker ba'atzmai. When you're saying the pasuk about that mitzvah, you should be doing that mitzvah. So Kriya Shema is supposed to be an emotional mitzvah. It's about loving Hashem, feeling a love for Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema for 130 years by that time. He had said many, many, many thousands of Kriya Shemas. And no doubt, Yaakov Avinu, who was, you know, one of the Avais, and was on an extraordinary high level, and was a Merkava L'Shechina. So, when he said Kriya Shema, he meant it, and he felt it. He was an act of love, it was an expression of love, it was an exercise in love. But Yaakov Avinu realized that even though for 130 years he's been reading Kriya Shema, and he's been involved in developing a love for Hashem, and working on that Aveda, but he was now in a situation where he felt a love, a feeling, a loving feeling that was perhaps beyond any loving feeling that he ever felt before. His reunion with his son, his favorite son from Rachel, the one that he had worked for, the one that he had wanted, and she was dead, and this was her son, her first son. And all the feelings, the ben zekunim, the ksenis pasim, everything that, and the 22 years absence, and now he had a chance to set his eyes upon him and to touch him. So the feeling of love that sprung up inside of him was unprecedented. And Yaakov said, oh, this kind of a love I've never yet devoted to the Rebbe Shlomo. For all my years, I've been devoting my love to the Rebbe Shlomo, but I can only devote the amount of love that I have. Right now, I'm feeling a degree of love that I never felt before. So I never yet devoted this kind of love to the Rebbe Shlomo. And so, he was peri kriyat shema, meaning, he was being oisek in the midst of Ahavta Hashem Lekecha. Why now? Because now there was a new Ava. And that new Ava needed to be devoted to the Rebbe Shlomo. That's the Maharal's pshat in this Rashi, in this Medrash, that Yaakov wasn't crying and wasn't hugging because of Yikari Yashema. Now, I just want to add, think about this Maharal a little bit. I think the way it first strikes people that he took this loving and wanted to devote it to the Rebbe Shlomo, the way it first strikes people is maybe as an act of sacrifice. He was such a big tzaddik that he wanted to put Hashem first. And so when he felt this big love towards his son, of course, but he said, you know what, since I have an opportunity now to do the mitzvah of Hashem Lekecha on a madrigal like I never did it before, so let me interrupt this program, let me interrupt the reunion, so that I could be Isaac now in Kriya Shema, so that I could devote this love to Hashem. But again, it's to be mevat, it's a sacrifice, take himself out of the experience that would have been the more natural one, to be Isaac in the one that would be the more frum one. The kind of conflicts that we have all the time, right? You have what you feel like doing, and then you have the firmer thing to do, and you have a conflict, and you try to make the right choice more often than not. So, my first reading of the Maharal would be that it was along those lines, that this was really, you know, his natural instinct would have been, you know, he would love nothing more than to just focus on Yosef. But, there was his Yetzer Tov said, you know, there's a mitzvah, Ahavta Hashem Lekecha, and you never did it this well before. You really should do that mitzvah now. So, he was mevatel. That's what I would call the first reading of the Maharal, and the Rashi, and the Medrash. But I don't think that's what they mean to be saying. I think that the proper way to think of this is with a mashal. You know, you've been to chasidus before. Now, you're not really in the right position for this mashal, but... But even so, you know, you had a chasana, and everybody's coming because they have some shaykhs to the Baal Simcha. But, different people have different shaykhs. When you go to a wedding, usually, you know, if you've gone to weddings, it's because you're a friend of the chasan. So for you, the Baal Simcha is the chasan. And you're singing with him and dancing with him. And, yeah, the chasan's parents are there also. But, you know, like, that's not important to you, that's not interesting to you. You're not there for them. But as you know, there's lots of circles at the wedding, right? You know, when I make a wedding, so, you know, when I marry my children, so I invite people, and those people come, they don't really know my children. But, you know, I know them a little bit, so they'll go over and say mazel tov, but they come to dance with me. There's different circles, because there's different Baalei Simcha. Now, let's imagine the experience of the Zayda. The Zayda, right, if somebody is Zayda to be at his grandchild's wedding. So it's a very, very big simcha. It's wonderful. Now, who does he feel most happy for? Whose circle is he in? Now, obviously, he's in both. He's in both. But which one more? So I guess the truth is... I'm sure that it'll vary, right? I mean, I don't think there's one answer to that. It depends on the family, it depends on the state, it depends on all the relationship. But I think in many cases, it's probably likely that in many cases, for him, the bigger simcha is that it's his son's simcha. His son is making a wedding. And that it's his grandson's chasana, that's the secondary one. And the reason is because the relationship between the father and the son is likely to be a richer, deeper, stronger relationship than the relationship between the grandfather and the grandson. Again, and not that that's always going to be the case, but I think most likely, or at least in many cases, his son is his son really lives his whole life with him, right? That's who he brought up. That's who he, in his younger years, invested all of his time and effort and energy and money to raising his son. His grandson, it's much less. His son, the fact that his son is at this milestone, that his son is making a chasana and marrying off a child, that's the biggest simcha for him. And the fact that it's his grandchild's chasana that he's getting married, that's also a big simcha, but that's, I think, second. So, you know, everyone at the wedding, the simcha that they feel most is the relationship that they're closest to, that they're strongest in. I think that what Chazal are really telling us over here is that Yaakov's, before I come back, just one more point about the mashal. So when the Zeta spends time dancing with the father of the chasana or the kala, it's not a sacrifice that, I want to make him feel good, so I'll take time away from the chasen. Adrabba, that's where he is immersed in the simcha most, because that's the strongest relationship. So, I think Yaakov, after 130 years, his strongest relationship was with Ribbono Shel Olam. And when he felt this love, so the most natural outlet for his love was V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. And yeah, meeting Yosef was a catalyst for it, but then this reading Shema, that was really the being in the moment for Yaakov. That was the being in the moment. That wasn't stepping out of the moment to do something from. That was just him sharing his love with the one that he loved the most, sharing his love with the one closest to him. That was his reading Kriya Shema. And so that was his fullest experience of the moment. The Madrega that we're describing here of being so connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam that love is felt more naturally, again, not as a sacrifice or as an act of frumkeit, but more naturally and more organically than the love for your child, that's a Madrega that's way beyond, I think, anybody. Or at least almost anybody. That was Yaakov Avinu. That was, we're not meant to be where we're meant to aspire. But we're not meant to be on that Madrega. But I think we are meant to read this story and realize that there's supposed to be such a thing. There's supposed to be a relationship. And it's supposed to be real. The mitzvah of Hashem Elokecha, and for that matter, the mitzvah of Yirah also, Hashem Elokecha Tirah, which is also an emotion, it's a feeling. These mitzvahs are real. That means that Judaism is supposed to be a very emotional religion. I think that's lost on a lot of yeshiva bachim. I think a lot of times we don't realize that. In Judaism, we think of as being a very technical religion, a very detail-oriented, you have to do this and do that, and here's the right way to do it. And I'm not taking away from that. It's all very important. And there are so many halachas, and in many cases, they're so geshmak to talk about because of all the lamdas and the halachas. So, to spend a week talking about kafs and zakka kol, kafs and ein zakka kol, mutl l'sham shalai, or asl l'sham shalai, what's the zman, there's the beginning of the zman, the end of the zman, the different pshatim. That's all wonderful, and there's a great cheshek in learning that, but we have to remember when we do mitzvahs, just picking that one as an example, even though that's not on the table anymore, but it was pretty recent, that the mitzvahs are really about sharing something with the Ribbono Shel Olam and coming closer to him so that we build a real emotional relationship. And that has to go into all the mitzvahs. There's a lashon in the Zohar. You may be familiar. You don't learn Zohar, but neither do I. We don't learn Zohar. But you're probably familiar, at least the Sfaradim here, for sure, are familiar, with the expression, b'dechilu rechimu. Right? Before people do a mitzvah, by Chassidim, by many Sfaradim, before people do a mitzvah, they say, l'shem yichud. L'shem yichud, kishabrichu, shechintei. And then it says, b'dechilu rechimu. Dechilu means yira, rechimu means ava. Now, and what he's saying when he recites this is that we're devoted to doing this mitzvah with dechilu rechimu, with yirav ava. It comes from the Zohar. The Zohar says dechilu rechimu shrei gadfi de pikuda inun. That means that the love and the fear, the fear and the love, let's translate correctly. The fear and the love are the two wings of the mitzvah. Gadfi are wings. They're the two wings of the mitzvah. Meaning, you could do the mitzvah, and it could crawl along on the floor, or you can let your mitzvah fly. If you do the mitzvah with Ava V'Yira, then the mitzvah flies. Then it goes somewhere, and it takes you with it. Then it raises you to a different madrega. It brings you closer to the Rebbeinu Shlalom. That's what the mitzvahs are supposed to do. When we, Ner Chanukah, certainly one example, but okay, we're past that. But Kriya Shema, Tfila, Tfilin, Talis, Brachos, Birkas HaMazon, Tfila, Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, but Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi is also Bein Adam L'Makom. All these mitzvahs, if you do the mitzvah b'dchilu rechimu, then you're growing from it. You're not just checking a box. I did it. That was yotzei dechavasai. That's what the Talmud Bavli and the Megillah of the Paiskim and the Halacha is focused on. On yotzei dechavasai, and you have to be focused on that. That is of paramount importance. But ideally, we shouldn't be limiting our focus to that. We want to know not just can I check off the box that was yotzei dechavasai, but what did I get from it? What did it do for me? And that depends on the Ava and the Yira that goes into it. And we really need to think that's a takeaway from this discussion, that this medrash, that Yaakov was not hugging and crying with Yosef. He was hugging and crying with Ribbono Shel Olam, because that was his dance at the Chasana. That was the relationship that was more real to him. And so when he had this unprecedented strong feeling, that's where he put it. So for us, okay, we're not going to get there that it's going to be more real than the most emotional relationships in our lives. But what we do need to get to, and this is realistic, and we have to try to work on, is that it has to be real. That we want to build the relationship, the Ava and the Yira, and part of that, I mentioned a whole bunch of mitzvahs that we do, and we should try to add the Dechilu Rechimu to all of them. But what we spend most of our time on is Limud HaTorah. And Limud HaTorah, we're focused on Bedika and Bittul and Bir, and why do we need each of them? And we're learning that sugya. But why are we learning that sugya? We can't forget, because Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, V'Nasan Lanu Es Torah Asai, V'Chayei Olam Nata Paseichenu, Baruch Atah Hashem Nesin HaTorah. That's what we're doing when we're learning a Bedik Tzarek Sheyivatel. So we're not spending our time during Seder learning that, but before we sit down, we have to give it a moment's thought. We do. We have to give it a moment's thought that we're doing this because we have the privilege to be Isaac in the Dvar Hashem, and through that, to come closer to Him, to be as if we're in a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, a loving conversation, and develop our mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha through the Talmud Torah and all the other mitzvahs that we do.